Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful! Oh, my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Well, we'll tell you what's not going to happen on this edition of Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com. Gentlemen, do you know what's not going to occur once we wrap things up? Darren Urban, Ron Wolfe, yours truly, Pauly Podcast, and Jim Omohundro over there.
You're going to not have us do any more imitations of IHOP commercials?
No, I'm not going to guarantee that.
Nice hands, Larry.
But I will say this, though. There will be no message board beatdown of yours truly for being a little too energetic. A little too effervescent, if you will. You know why? Because I'm thoroughly under the weather right now. And Ron Wolfley,
yeah.
More reason to hate you as a person. How do you come off the 40-hour marathon of being awake and somehow you, of all people, have energy today? How does that happen?
I have no idea, Paulie. I do know this. I took yesterday off. I took the day off.
Therefore, so did I. Why do I feel like
I've got... Is it swine flu? Is it swine flu?
Why do I feel like I just took a Beanie Wells stiff arm to the chin? Is that? Why you know, I mean, you're...
Maybe
you're,
because you've been up all night playing Mommy Daddy or something.
On the way over here, I almost literally did a tuck and roll out of the car into the carpool lane of the I-10 and went to sleep. Almost. But here we are. It is the Cardinals Underground Edition. Ron Wolfley is doing something with the cord over there on his mic. I don't know what that is. Darren Urban is sporting yet another power tie. I'm intimidated. I'm officially intimidated.
Thank you very much.
Sort of like Jake Delhomme is intimidated this week, gentlemen. I mean, there you are. You are on pace for 35 interceptions this season, and you're going against the team that picked you off five times in the playoff and led you to apologize in the huddle. Is there a mental edge by the Cardinals defense this week, Ron Wolfley?
I don't think so, not at all.
No?
I don't think it's going to matter whatsoever that Jake Delhomme is over there and that he's struggling the way that he has. And
Joe Namath now struggling.
Yeah, going back to the postseason last year, we all know what happened. Jake Delhomme had a disaster game against the NFC champion, the eventual NFC champion, Arizona Cardinals. But I don't think, guys, at least I hope not. I hope they're not looking at Jake Delhomme going, "Yeah, great, we got Jake Delhomme to play against again." I hope they're not doing that. I hope it's just the fact that this is another game. It's another game, and it's against a team that has been struggling. And because of that, hopefully they're going to take care of business. You know, coming off that huge victory against the New York Giants, if they come back and suddenly don't play well against Carolina and were to lose yet again another home game, that's literally taking one step forward, two steps back as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, First of all, I totally agree. I think this is a huge game. You don't want it turning into a trap game if you're the Cardinals. But I will say this. Do I think the Cardinals are going to be sitting there licking their chops because it's Jake Delhomme? I don't think so. I think they've matured past some of that stuff. Now, you were asking, does Jake Delhomme think, oh, now I'm facing the Cardinals here? I do think there's a possibility of that. Talking to Jake Delhomme on the conference call today and talking to John Fox, both of them, when you ask the question, is that a lingering thought in your head and coming in this week, both of them dismissed it at the beginning of their answer. But as they got into the answer, they clearly were more on the fence on it.
Yeah, it dawned to them during their own answer that, indeed.
So I'll be interested to see where it goes. I think there's a lot of pressure on Jake Delhomme this week. There's a lot of pressure on him anyways because of how much he's been struggling and how he's playing in general. But to me, if he comes out and has another morbid performance against the Cardinals, I mean, that might be it. That might be it for him. I mean, this might be the bookend for him if he really melts down.
And here it is right here. This being Halloween, of course, Halloween coming up here, the Halloween week, if you will. Here's my impersonation of Jake Delhomme. Are you ready for the audio version?
Impersonations? Nice hands, Larry.
Jake Delhomme has thrown four touchdown passes as Dr. Jekyll
and 13 interceptions as Mr. Hyde.
Sure that isn't the Men's Warehouse guy?
No, that's not the men's warehouse guy.
You're sure? See, now Wolf's thinking about it. In his own answer, he's thinking about it.
Some black coffee.
Wolf, can I update your own stat there? Your own holy cannoli stat. It's 15 turnovers total by Mr. DeLome and 4 touchdown passes.
Paul, did I say interceptions or turnovers?
I'm saying turnovers. I'm updating your own stat. I think that's more impressive, actually, if I may be so bold. In fact, I'll pose the question. Why hasn't John Fox made a change at quarterback? I mean, come on.
Because Matt Moore is your backup.
If your backup is Matt Leinart instead of Matt Moore, I mean, this change was made weeks ago, wasn't it?
I agree. I was saying, if it's a young guy who you think is going to be your future quarterback, I think you might have made the change possibly. But there's two things at play here. One, Matt Moore is not Matt Leinart or Mark Sanchez or whoever. So that's number one and the most important thing. Number two is Carolina is still a relatively veteran team coming off a very good season. You make a quarterback change now, especially to a guy like Matt Moore, I think you're flush in the season, and I don't know if you necessarily want to do that quite yet. So I think there's good reasons to keep Jake DeLome in there at this point.
Well, not only that, too, you went ahead and extended him, his contract, and gave him basically Kurt Warner money.
Yeah, that's
So that has an awful lot to do with the decision as well.
But a season ago might as well be a decade ago. I mean, they're 2-4 right now. They have wins over the Redskins and Tampa. I mean, don't make me point it out again like I did last week with the New York Fugazis, okay? And I had to point out their schedule. Please, don't make me go just aggro on you, Ron Wolfley, with the knowledge over here, okay?
DeLome's what are you saying, Paulie? Are you saying that the victory in New York is tainted?
No.
Because they were a phony?
No.
They were playing against the Fugazis? Is that what you're saying?
First of all, it's Fugazis. And second of all, Paulie Pigskin called it. That's what I'm doing. If nobody else is going to give yours
truly
credit. I got to
give Paulie credit on that. He was pretty much on top of that.
Just like the East Coast media is not giving the Arizona Cardinals credit. I'm not getting it over here as Paulie prognostication.
Wait a minute. I am the guy that picked the Cardinals to win 23-20.
Okay.
I'm the guy that went on the record and said they're going to win.
I see.
You just went on the record saying they were Fugazis or Fugazis, that they were fakes.
Fugazi is an Italian cookie, Wolf. We're talking about Fugazis, fakes, imposters.
All right, now, Paul, where exactly are we trying to go here?
Where I'm going with this is this, okay? Look, for Carolina, the beginning of the end was the playoff loss at home to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they have not been the same team
I believe
since.
There'll be a story along those lines. Yes.
Okay, and Darren Urban.
On azcardinals.com.
Within your story on azcardinals.com, are you going to point out and assert that this is a better defense than Carolina saw in the 2008 playoffs?
I don't think there's any question.
Because it gets worse for Carolina.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, this defense is playing at a level that, I'll be honest, I wasn't sure they could get to. And to have them playing this consistently, especially in light of some of the bumps in the road that they had earlier in the season, like against Indianapolis, I mean, I'm impressed. You hope the health holds up to the point where it doesn't affect them. But even at the end of the Giants game, to see Ralph Brown having to take snaps at safety, to see Michael Adams holding up pretty good in coverage at cornerback.
Toller.
Greg Toller, who had hurt his ankle and was playing on a mild ankle injury in the end of that game and still doing okay. I mean, I was so impressed with that secondary and how they played. Brian McFadden, I thought, by far had his best game of the year, and that went under the radar because of what Adrian did and what DRC did and what some
tackles,
of the backups did.
3 pass breakups for
B-Mac. You know, if you can get a secondary playing like this, in addition to how that front seven is now playing with Alan Branch getting 2 sacks, I mean, wow.
Say that again one more time.
Alan Branch getting 2 sacks?
2 sacks, thank you. Just
what about Antrell Roll and his performance?
Yeah,
I think
right.
That is a – I think Antrell Roll, speaking of Brian McFadden playing his – I thought Roll played his best game as an Arizona Cardinal, period. I mean, this is a guy who had 8 tackles, excuse me. He was used very well in the pressure packages that Bill Davis used, coming up the middle. He was a factor. Had that huge interception to seal the game, had a pass defended as well. I thought Antrell Roll showed up and played his best game, for certain his best game as a safety man.
It'll be very interesting, when we're talking about Roll. I mean, here's a guy who his contract jumps to unbelievable totals next year, probably unwieldy totals. You're going to either have to redo his deal, maybe extend him, or you're going to have to cut him loose because you're probably not going to want to keep him at the salary he's got right now. And right now, if he's playing at this level, it's going to be a lot more difficult of a decision than maybe it once was.
Yeah, role situation reminds me of that one tune. Remember that one great tune back there? I Have Become Cumbersome. Remember that one? Cumbersome, I believe, is what they called it right there. And if that, in fact, happens, where there's no way you can go ahead and pay Entrell Roll the money that his salary is going to balloon to. I just don't see how you could do it. You're going to hopefully try to work some deal and restructure it.
Well, I agree with both you guys. And, you know, the eight tackles usually, or in the past at times, was associated with eight whiffs, and that didn't happen. He was a very sure tackler against the Giants.
Yes, he was.
A couple of touchdown-saving tackles, perhaps, in the likes of Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs. I mean, the two touchdown drives, to even call them drives, is a disservice to a touchdown drive because one went 29 yards after the Kurt pick, and the other was the immaculate deflection, right, by Akeem Nix there. So other than that, I mean, the Cardinals' defense holds them to 3 points in that game. I mean, is the D... Finally, they come off the field of Seattle, and Bill Davis says four quarters. They get four more quarters against the Giants. But I tell you, this Carolina game, you know, and we've seen it in the past. When the Cardinals have a cause, they rally around and they bring it, like they did against the Giants. On the road, against the Giants, the no respect, the East Coast bias thing. It's this Carolina game that almost scares me more. I mean, knowing the up and down nature of this team and the defense, do you think the Cardinals are past that, Darren Urban, or do we still hold our breath going into the Carolina game?
I am going to reluctantly say they're past it. You always wonder a little bit because this is a trap game, because the last 2 weeks have been so important in terms of going to Seattle and hating those guys in a lot of ways and hating that crowd in a lot of ways and wanting to win that game. And obviously we knew everything that went into the New York game. And to have two highs like that and to come back home and to play a Carolina team that's clearly struggling, it's got to make you worry a little. But I do think they're past a lot of things. I actually think the talk about the playoff game last year will help them, because I think in some ways it'll kind of reverberate back to where they were, where their mindset was, how well they were playing, how much they want to prove that, you know, we're still that team. We still want to deliver that blow. And the other thing too is they're in position to control a lot of things. You don't want to blow that now. And I really think it's easier for them to focus more. I think the only way this defense could be playing at this level, quite frankly, is if they had matured more and they're focused more than they used to be.
I will say this. Coach Ken Wisenhunt definitely has his finger on the pulse of this team, because there was a moment in the first half where they were down 7-0 and there were a pair of three and outs, and Ken Wisenhunt gathered the offense together. And I talked about this on the broadcast, and the term I used then was nuclear. And I don't take that back. He absolutely lost it with gathered everyone around, the O-line, all the skill players, Kurt Warner, and he just read him the riot act. And you know what? It worked. They responded with a touchdown drive, and they were never the same thereafter in a good way.
I think they scored, 17 straight points, right, Paulie?
Exactly. If it wasn't for, once again, the immaculate deflection, I mean, they almost take a commanding lead and run away with the game. So I guess you put the trust in Ken Wisenhunt to sense that with this team, and you just hope they respond accordingly, I guess is what I'm saying, Wolf. I don't know.
To me, Paulie, let me just jump in here and say that was probably my biggest concern about the departure of Todd Haley was accountability and you know, who was going to keep some of these players accountable as they came off the sideline. And I think we've seen it now in a couple of games, because some of your finest sideline reporting I think you've ever done, by the way. And I'm not trying to be funny, Paulie. One in Seattle and one here where you reported literally from the sideline, oddly enough, as a sideline reporter will do, you reported that Ken Wisenhunt went nuts, that he brought the offense. That's the accountability that we're talking about. And what is so apparent to me is that Ken Wisenhunt can be the head coach. He can keep his players accountable as the offensive coordinator, and he can call the plays. He can do it all. He is uniquely situated to do that. And let me just say, not everybody is in the NFL. He is.
You have to have the mind of an air traffic controller almost. You know, you got to be able to channel all these different streams into your head. And, you know, he's been able to do that. There are enough TV timeouts where he can go over to the sideline. He can let guys have it. And look, let me tell you this much. If they're looking for motivation, there's plenty out there right now. Because, you know, I was in a national radio show in addition to the NFL Network mic that I'm holding now. And the host called the Cardinals playing a, quote, fluffy brand of football. End
what?
Quote. And then I'm reading this. There's a columnist on ESPN.com who assesses the Cardinals heretofore, all right? Thusly, here we go.
Paul, and we're not quote, talking about you going nationally on satellite radio and some guy saying fluffy.
Terrestrial over 300 stations. A surprising appearance in Super Bowl 43 fooled some observers, he writes, into thinking the 2008 Arizona Cardinals were a great football team, which they certainly were not. They were a thoroughly mediocre team that won two playoff games at home and a third thanks to a Jake Delhomme meltdown. End quote, ESPN.com football columnist. There's still plenty of doubters
That's
out
just...
there. Dare we say haters.
That was written this week.
Non-believers. That was just posted in the last 24 hours.
That's just...
I mean...
unbelievably bad.
That's why when we asked the question in the red zone, in the galley with head coach Ken Wisenhunt, and I only half jokingly said, do you think you move into the top half of the power rankings this week? I mean, Darren, you keep your eye on everybody else around the country, right? I mean, the Cardinals are still a long way from getting legitimate respect from most football watchers, especially east of the Mississippi.
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I tend to, you know, and I had a fan asking me about this morning. I tend not to get my hackles up too much over stuff like that because ultimately it really doesn't matter. It's a little bit irritating at times. I can understand that. You're looking, for instance, the Giants game. You think it's going to be this big win. You think you're going to get some, you know, bounce back off of that, some attention. And it seems like for the most part, the attention is that the Giants melted down and blew the game. And that does get to be a frustrating factor when you're around this team, when you work for this team. But I don't know how much the players really care. I mean, do they care to a point? I've heard the soundbite that Kurt had on Doug and Wolf's show. There's no question that they know about it.
Sports 620, well, yeah. KTAR.
They're aware of it. There's no doubt. You were actually off, Wolf. That why it was a money quote that morning.
But
anyway.
But I think in the end, you know, what are you going to do about it? All you can do is win. And look, as we've said this a million times, if we're worried about this team not falling into a trap, if we're worried about this team finding motivation, hell, that's ongoing motivation.
Yeah, but here it is right here, okay? Look, this is one of the reasons why I hope at least the Arizona Cardinals are going to come out and play a smoking game against the Carolina Panthers. It can no longer be about what people said about you. It can't be about proving people wrong. It's got to be about proving themselves right. You've heard me talk about this from time to time. This Carolina game literally embodies that philosophy of going out and proving yourself right. You're a better team than the Carolina Panthers are. You are. You're home. You have the opportunity to go to 5-2. You have the opportunity to remain firmly ensconced in the driver's seat in the NFC West. It's got to be about you and proving yourself right and proving your teammates right, not about proving everybody else wrong. Let them go ahead and do that. Let them say what they want to say. That motivation will last for a certain amount of time, for a certain dispensation, but it will not last forever. What does last forever is pride and purpose. Pride in what you do and the fact that you literally want to prove yourself right. That is going to last. Not the proving other people wrong.
Well, and you know what? It makes the wins that much more enjoyable. They actually taste better, I think, to the players. There we were, more sideline reporting for you at the very end of the game. You were down there, Darren. At the very end of the game, the Antrel roll interception to seal it. And what do the players do? They turned all those Giants fans who'd been heckling them for 3 hours. I mean, some vicious things were said. I mean, stuff I can't even repeat. And then the Cardinal players are just waving goodbye. See you guys later. Drive safely. The game's... And you know what? That's the way you do it. You prove it on the scoreboard. You maybe turn around with a little quick acknowledgement, like, hey, how you doing? That kind of thing. And boom. See you guys later. All right. And I think this is interesting because, you know, at some point, you know, these up and down Cardinals now have become consistent. And Coach Wisenhunt touched on it on Monday when he was asked about the turning point in the season for the better.
this aura of the NFC champs, and we have to live up to that. And if I make a mistake, it's just, you get so worried about making a mistake, you make mistakes. And I think that letting that go and just focusing on playing our game, flying around, having fun, understanding that if we make some mistakes, we're good enough that we can overcome that. You know, that to me was big for us, because that's the way we've played the last 3 weeks.
In fact, as we've talked about before, it's more about the Cardinals right now than who they're playing. Even when they go against the Giants and the Meadowlands. And now you look at the schedule, guys, the next five games, the combined record is 7-24. So to me, what scares you the most is just the health of the team. That's me right now, because if the Cardinals play their game, right? I mean, look at this secondary. You mentioned it, Darren. So I'm curious, what does it look like? What's the outlook for Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and some of the other guys?
Well, I mean, I think Rodgers-Cromartie is going to end up being a week-to-week thing. It didn't look all that great after the game. He was limping pretty significantly. I asked Coach Wisenhunt earlier this week about, you know, because he compared it to the Anquan injury and Anquan coming back on the week, and we'll see how it plays out through the week. And I said, isn't it different for a wide receiver than a cornerback? Because, you know, a receiver, you can kind of tell him where he's going. He knows where he's going, whereas a cornerback is all about reaction, and you might have to run with a guy in a fly pattern, and you have no control over that. Now, Coach Wisenhunt kind of said, well, it's all about change of direction, so I don't think it's that much different. On a personal level, I do think it's different. I do think it would be more difficult if their injuries were exactly the same for Dominique to be able to come back and be somewhat of a factor. We'll see what happens this week. But, you know, I think, again, like I mentioned before, one of the things that helps you is the fact that you did bring in some of those backups in that game at the end of the Giants game when Dominique was out, when Adrian Wilson couldn't play on that final drive because his cramps were so bad in his legs, and they got the job done. And I think that is so crucial to not only know that they went in, but to know that they went in and came up big on a big drive. Michael Adams, who would be DRC's replacement, got a big pass breakup. On the pass right before roll got the interception, that was Michael Adams breaking up the pass, and he had another one down the field earlier. And I think to have them go through that, I think is very important. We'll see where that goes. Anquan Boldin should be a little bit healthier in theory this week. They reported no setbacks. He did get sore at the end of the game and played a lot less as the game went on. But he supposedly is going to practice more this week. So, you know, we'll see where they go. I think generally their health is still relatively good. But again, when your number one cornerback is banged up, that is always a concern. But again, you're going against a Panthers team doesn't pass the ball very well. Yeah, so I think you can get over it.
The thing that really, really, really bothers me about DRC is the fact that he was just starting to return to form.
It's a bummer.
He was just starting to look like the guy that we saw in the last half of the season last year and then into the postseason again. And the ability to hold up on the corners when you go with an 8-man box, which is something Bill Davis did a lot of against the New York Giants. And Adrian Wilson, when he's down in that box, he's so valuable because he can blitz. He can go ahead and bring him. You can bring him in the A gap, the B gap. You can bring him from the outside. And not only that, you can still play coverage when he's in the box. And, of course, it gives you a great advantage against the run. But you better have corners that can hold up. And DRC, we saw that on Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie's interception, the post route, down the middle of the field, Eli Manning, they went for it, and DRC made them pay with an incredible pick right there. That's the bummer to me. The bummer to me is that Dr. C was starting to play like he was last year in the last two games, and now he rolls his ankle.
And just real quick on that interception following up, talking to DRC after the game, he knew that was coming. He knew with the route, he said as soon as that guy took off, he knew he was going to run the post deep. He knew what was coming. And to me, that shows the learning curve. He's starting to get over that curve. And again, I agree totally with Wolf. It's not just that he's hurt. It's that he's now playing some of his best football of the year. And now to have this setback is
bummer.
It hurts. But
just like the pick against Houston, by the way. He knew that out was coming.
You got to be able to overcome this stuff. I mean, I will say this. This team has had, knock on wood, a remarkable run with their injuries. You can't continue to sit there and, in my opinion, complain too much about the injuries that they do end up having, because they just don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
These few that they have, they need to find a way to pick it up. And you know what? I do think, especially with his defense, I think they will find a way to do so.
Well, let's face it. I mean, Carolina has four touchdown passes all season, and they're all to tight ends. So if you had one week where you're going to be without your number one cornerback, yes, Ron Wolfe, that actually got you out of your seat, on the edge of your seat. Not a single touchdown pass to a receiver this year by the Carolina Panthers. That's how dysfunctional this offense
is. The way I like to say it is Steve Smith has zero touchdowns this year.
Let that resonate.
I mean, you know, I mean, your point right there is well taken, of course. Not a receiver has. No, Steve Smith does not have a receiving touchdown, does not have a touchdown in six games so far this year, and has only got 27 receptions on the year, which you do the math, in six games is less than five receptions a game.
That's how you know the Carolina Panthers are misfiring. And a quick thought on the Cardinals defense and how we know they are coming into form just like DRC himself. How many times did you guys call the name Carlos Dansby against the New York Giants?
Yes.
And let's face it, we hadn't heard his name called a whole bunch.
No.
That's how you know this. To me, that's how you know this defense is rounding into form.
You know, the biggest thing about this, and we all talked about this this year for the Arizona Cardinals, if their defense could just somehow, some way come up into the middle of the pack. You know, and offensively, if they were still going to go out there and be able to be the juggernaut that we all know that they are offensively, just how much better this team really would be. Well, guess what? The defense has surpassed even that. They're number seven, I believe, tied for number seven, or they're top 10 in scoring defense. Top 10 in scoring defense in the National Football League. They've come up huge on third downs. You know, they're number three. They are number three in third down conversions right now, going into last week's game. Number three in the NFL. And red zone conversions, way, way, way up. The two areas they have improved the most is third down defense and red zone defense. And those were both points that Ken Wisenhunt pointed to and said, this is awful. Because they were 28 in third down defense and 28 in red zone defense last year. The improvement has been dramatic.
Well, and I just piggybacking off that real quick, there were so many great things that happened for the Cardinals and good plays. One thing that got overlooked, and it goes right to what you're talking about. To me, one of the biggest plays of that game, or biggest sequences, when they held the Giants on third and short, right near the goal line, Brandon Jacobs, 200 million pounds of him, going downhill, and they kept him out of the end zone and forced the Giants to kick that field goal to make it a seven-point game, meaning the Giants had to get seven on those last two drives and not just three. That was lost in the shuffle of everything that happened, and that was one of the bigger things that happened.
All right, so let's talk about big backs. Let's talk about Beanie Wells, because if you're Carolina right now, right, you're, oh, yeah, okay, the Cardinals dead last in the NFL in rushing again this season, and then you turn on the old game tape, you're like, uh-oh, wait a minute, who's this guy, the rookie here with the 13-yard touchdown run, and then boom, with a couple of stiff arms there. Well, don't tell me about the stiff arm, Wolf. I was right there on the sideline, okay, all the way home on the, Paul, every about half hour, I'm trying to sleep on the way home. You did see the stiff arm by Beanie Wells, right? I mean, it was like Wolf was like on a loop or something, just going over and over again. There's Beanie. 13 yards on the touchdown run, 67 yards and 14 carries. Is this the game where the opponent needs the bigger boat? Is it? Is this where we play the Jaws theme? Is this the game?
Seriously, at
some
point, you've got to let it go. At some point, you've been saying this. Do you realize this, Paul? What game is this for us right now? This is game number seven. You've been saying this for, I want to be conservative, 6 weeks, maybe. You said it during the bye week.
I'm going to market a beanie hat, except instead of the propeller, it's going to have a big shark fin on the top. Okay, that's what it's going to be. He's going to come up and take a bite out of someone. I mean, is this going to be a different offense by the end of the season, Darren Urban?
I think it might be a little bit different. You know, we talked to Coach Wisen a lot about this earlier this week. First of all, without question, Beanie Wells is not starting. And I don't think, judging by how Coach Ken Wisenhunt was talking, that's happening anytime soon for a multitude of reasons.
Good.
Tim Hightower is going to be your starter. Now, is Beanie Wells going to end up with more carries than Tim Hightower? Very,
yes.
Very possibly. I think that's a probability the way this is going. But there's no question that at some point, and I think Wisenhunt believes this, and I think everybody believes this, and whether this is the game or not, who knows, but Beanie Wells is going to have a breakout game. Beanie Wells is going to run for 130 yards and three touchdowns 1 week. And, hey, it'd be great this week.
And guess what's going to happen? Paul's going to come back the next week and say, see, I told you he was going to have a breakout game, even though he's been saying it every game since game two.
Well, but see, he's going to come back and say, see, I predicted it. You guys are all slow on the uptake, and I predicted it. That's what he's going to say.
Sort of like roulette. I just keep putting that chip on black or red, and it just keeps coming up accordingly. You know, look, it's going to happen. The question is it this week? Is it next week? I mean, it's going to happen at some point. Okay? Let's just bottom line that right now. I'm just saying that's by the end
bold,
of the season.
That's a bold, gutsy prediction.
It's, well, you know, Wolf, it's tough to follow up my New York Fugazi's prediction. I mean, we've already been to the top of the mountain. It's
Paul,
really,
do you care to go back to the common denominator of the offensive line and protecting Kurt Warner and regurgitate that over the first six games of the season?
Oh, boy.
Do you care if, would you like to make that point again?
It is true. We did not call the names of Justin Tuck, Kiwanuka. I mean, those guys did not have their names called nearly enough for the Giants to win on Sunday night. That is a salient point. There's no doubt about it. Okay. All right. Darren Urban, do you have anything? Speaking of salient, you have anything else you want to add here on this edition of Cardinals Underground, by the way?
I'm good right now.
Yeah. All right. Wolf over there.
What do we think about it, Paulie?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Seriously, happy Halloween, of course, coming up here, ladies and gentlemen. I feel free. I'm okay to say that, right, Holmes? I mean, I can say that. This is Halloween week right here.
Yes.
That's coming up. Paulie, what are you going as this year? One of the Lollipop Guild? Is that it? What are you going as?
I segue quickly and say whatever I go as, it will not top the efforts of Neil Rackers, who has been preparing his costume for weeks as he's getting those chops going. He's got some of those biker chops going across his mandible there, and he's going as Wolverine. Have you seen this, Darren?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's looking pretty fierce for an NFL kicker.
I thought he was going as the badass Amish guy.
No. It's the Wolverine.
He could, though. It's a dead Amish man. I did 1 year as a, I believe I was about 11 years old, as a matter of fact. I went as a dead Amish man. It had the straw cap on with the knife coming out of your head and,
that's
some,
an odd
some blood down
costume.
Your face, and they had the lamb chop sideburn, I had that thing. Yeah, you know what
that's
I mean.
It's a glimpse
couple
into
of overalls,
the
you know.
Crystal ball, thereby explaining Ron Wolfley and all his percussions right there at 11 years of age, forecasting forward.
All right, scariest movie, though, of all time? Seriously? Halloween.
Oh, no.
Is there anything close to Halloween?
No, probably not.
What was the one where the little girl was possessed? What was that one?
What do you mean?
Exorcist. Exorcist was the scariest.
That was freaky. All right, that was way too... Maybe Silence of the Lambs.
That was
maybe
pretty.
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, wait. do you think anyone across America, ladies and gentlemen, will go as Mr. Ron Wolfley for Halloween? That is pretty scary.
That's pretty funny.
By the way, Wolf, we know how protective you are of the compound. When little kids knock on your door,
right?
Trick or treat. I mean, Wolf, you don't open the, get off my lawn. Do that, do you, Wolf?
No, I'm not like that at all, as a matter of fact. Go back, ladies and gentlemen, you go back, my warrior queen, the beautiful Miss Stephanie, used to pass out candy as Genie. Remember Genie?
That's a good
one. You go
one,
back
man.
About 4 years ago, let me tell you, there was a lot of people knocking at the door. Yeah, trick or treat. Look. I want to finish with this.
Look, you 13-year-old punk with the hormones. We've seen you 7 times tonight. Get off my rocks.
Are you ready for my... This is it. I'm done. I'm done podcasting. But here it comes. I once ate a man's liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
I have... As the Arizona defense says on the sideline now, see you in three. We'll see you for the next edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com. I don't want to attach my name to this, but if you guys want to say your names, feel free.